Listener Production. Kickbump acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yolukut Wulam clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the Kickbump Podcast, your fortnightly D&M on all things motherhood. One, two, three, guys, welcome back to another Kick Bump episode. Got the lovely Mandy across from me. How are you going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I said very good twice, but I'm good today. But I will say, Mandy, the last week I've been a little bit up and down. I've been a bit rattled. And so I just kind of want to get it out of the way, to be honest. I want to just vent and get something out of off my chest so we can move on.
The whole purpose of this podcast, isn't it? Isn't that why it started?
Love this venting platform for me. Yeah. So the other week on the podcast, I mentioned about how when I have, you know, friends and family babysit Harvey, I often watch the monitor, and Laura thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, this was on KickPod.
It was. Yep. It was on the KickPod. We have a baby camera and a baby monitor, and I always spy on Josh on the monitor.
So the thing for me, okay, that kills me with you with your cameras, is when people babysit Harvey and you watch the whole time.
Not the whole time. It's just, if it's the first time that they're doing it, I will watch pretty much the whole time. But they know that.
You had some friends babysitting Harvey.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they were going to put him in a small baby suit.
It was too small for him.
And you were listening, which I'm assuming they wouldn't have known you were listening.
They
and then
didn't.
You decided to text him say, hey,
no, I think I actually I think I ended up using the microphone on the microphone. And I was like, I'm sorry, guys.
Are you like Big Brother?
Don't put him in that one. The greatest thing about it was that I realized how not alone I am in that.
So we often discuss like, oh, should that be a video clip after the podcast finishes? We're like, oh, that'll be good for socials. Yeah. And literally my first thought was that's hilarious because it's so relatable.
Totally
and
relatable.
I said to you off air that I literally spy on whoever's dog sits for me and I say to them, give him more cuddles. Yeah. He wants love. And like, I'm a crazy dog lady, right? That's not even my child.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, oh my God, so relatable, so funny and like not a big deal.
Yeah. No, and I didn't think so either. And a lot of people got around it. But then I think where it became an unfortunate share was when it was taken out of context. So I was told by a number of people, so thanks for reaching out and letting me know that it was on the television. I kind of wish I didn't know, to be honest, because I really didn't like the way that it was covered. But basically the topic of spying on your babysitter was brought up using me as an example, and there was some stuff that was completely taken out of context. For example, they did not mention that, number one, everyone babysitting knows that we have the cameras and knows that I watch the cameras.
Yep.
That is the most important thing I want to say, because I did have some babysitters reach out to me and say, I'm sorry, but if I didn't know someone was watching me, I would feel really uncomfortable. So I would like to add, everyone knows that I watch the baby cameras. Everyone that babysits.
Everyone
knows
that knows
that
you. You want to be watching Harvey at any point of the day.
And also, if I was to hire a babysitter as well, because everyone so far who's babysitted has been close friends and family.
Yeah.
If I was to hire a babysitter, absolutely is something that I would like tell them.
Just FYI, I have an app.
100%.
You're staring down the barrel of
100%.
That camera.
So I completely agree with everyone out there that was freaking out about that, because that wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah, but see, you're saying yours is consensual. I've admitted to non-consensual spying on my dog sitter. So you've got one up on me. And obviously that's completely fine that your friends who are babysitting know you well and know that you've got a baby monitor and whatever. Like, they're going to pick up Harvey out of his cot or whatever.
Exactly. Lighthearted and shared lighthearted. But anyway, the topic was then covered and then, you know, mentioned that what I was doing was like illegal and incredibly inappropriate. And I think why it rattled me was because as a working mom, and again, I use that title lightly because
every
mom works their ass off.
Yes.
But as a mom who is at work a lot and doesn't really get to spend the days with Harvey, there's a lot of times when I'm also missing his bedtime routine, which I think any parent would relate to. Bedtime routine is a special part of the day when you're winding down and getting them ready to bed. It's nice. And it's been really busy at work and I've often missed his bedtime routine. And so sometimes the only way for me to be a part of his day or his bedtime routine is to check in on the monitors.
How cute.
And like, I'm watching Josh. Yeah. So like, it's definitely not about a lack of trust in who's looking after Harvey. it is just wanting to be involved.
Yeah, again, it's you missing your son and wanting to see his every move because you're just like, oh, and, you know, he's so cute. Yeah. Like, of course you want to see him.
So I just, I think it just rubbed me up the wrong way because one of the comments that was made was, you know, if you don't trust someone that's with your kid, you shouldn't go out. Or like, you know, if you're watching the baby monitor, it's defeating the purpose of being out. So I just wanted to clarify, even if I was checking it when I'm out having fun, that's my prerogative.
Yeah.
But I'm checking it when I'm at work. Like it's, you know, I'm at work.
Look, I feel like, I honestly feel like it's annoying that you have to justify yourself because I feel like anyone listening to this podcast would know you well enough and know that it's not how the media depicted it.
Yeah.
And people, there's certain shows and whatever that will pick the tiniest clip from something and then absolutely like analyze the crap out of it and take it out of context. Mm. And then it becomes something that it's not. Mm. So I can't imagine being in your position where you have to see that unfold, whether it's on radio or TV or whatever it is, news. I can't imagine how annoying that is.
Yeah.
But from an outsider's perspective, I can tell you that like no one reading that or hearing that or watching that would go, oh, what a bad mother. Or you know that deep down.
Yeah.
But I can't, it's not easy to see it.
It's I think the hardest thing about it is that I really enjoy being vulnerable and being open. As 100%. A lot of listeners would know, very honest on this podcast and on the Kick Pod.
But that's what people appreciate.
And I love it. And I love that they appreciate it because it's created this beautiful safe space. But what's annoying about that safe space is it suddenly becomes unsafe when things are taken out of context. And it's annoying because it makes me question sometimes, like, should I not be so open or should I not share so much?
No.
Because it is that personal stuff that when that's taken.
Yeah.
And ridiculed, that hurts because it's like, this is my truth. This is, you know, deep to my core. It's not just like I've worn an outfit that someone hates. Like I couldn't care less. Mm. But when it's like something that I do or believe in and it's like complete, you know. So I just want to say it did rattle me, but I'm going to keep being raw and honest.
I
and
hate
just
that
push
it did,
through it.
I think, I mean, every time things like that happen, I guess it helps the skin get thicker or whatever.
I mean,
but
in a way.
As I said, everyone listening would know your truth and your side of that story and not at all be judged. Like I can guarantee you everyone listening would go, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're not alone, as you know,
from the
comments.
But thank you. And thank you guys for allowing me the space to talk about this
stuff.
But I do want to get into today's chat because it was a really, I loved having this chat. So we had Ash London on and we were, of course, talking about Ash from Ash London Live, which was a show on the Hit Network for so long.
She
killed it.
I just love Ash so much.
Such a good energy. She's done a lot of TV stuff as well. And she was like on MTV. She's been on Have You Been Paying Attention?
Yep.
She's also stepped in for Will and Woody at times, but the biggest role of all, which we obviously chat a lot about today, is becoming a mum to her son, Buddy,
who's
almost one. And it's so cute. And she's just such a legend. And I really appreciate how much she went into in this podcast. She was quite raw and real.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I've heard that side of
it. It was lovely.
I personally know Ash quite well and have worked with her and stuff, but and have heard a bunch of podcasts that she's done. I don't think what you're about to hear is a side of Ash that I personally haven't heard before. So it was really interesting to hear that from her. And because she stepped away from her hugely successful radio career. Obviously, I mean, I don't know, but I assume not forever.
Yeah.
But she has taken a step away from it for now. And I just can't imagine how that would be a difficult decision.
100%.
Being in that spot is like what people dream to get to.
Totally. And we speak about it time and time again. But if you are thinking about, you know, being a parent, but you also love your career, I feel like you're going to get a lot out of this chat.
Absolutely. And fun fact, her husband is actually a boss of a radio station. He was the first person that hired me, actually.
Oh, that's a great fun fact.
Yeah, and he's the best. Full circle. She talks about him a lot. So let's get into it.
Ash, season pro. You just said you were nervous and I know that's absolutely not the case. Welcome to the Kick Bump Podcast.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. This is a very slick operation, babe.
Oh, thanks.
I feel like I'm in like a podcasting spaceship or something.
It is a bit spaceshipy, isn't it?
I love it.
In the coolest way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, I want to start by asking how you are, but I know it's been a rough couple of weeks. So Buddy is nearly one. Let's start there.
I can't believe it.
That's crazy.
Feels like 20 years, but 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's like, and I've been so emotional this week thinking back on, you know, all the different milestones and the picture. Because, you know, your iPhone, how it does the old like memories of this week a year ago and then puts a bloody music behind it.
Yeah.
And, God, they get me.
They do,
So I've been very emotional this week.
Aww.
As you know, he's been sick as well. So he's been draining every bit of
life and happiness out of my system, but also he is all my happiness. So it's been this kind of like.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
All the and that's motherhood, isn't it? All the crazy emotions all at once.
Yeah. Mm. How have you gone over this year?
Oh, man. I feel like I've lived 100 lifetimes. Mm. Everything's been so different. And it's all been in the reverse order. Mm. I thought it would be really a huge adjustment at first and then life would slowly return back to normal. Mm. But it's been the reverse for me because, as you know, when a baby first arrives, they sleep a lot.
Yeah.
So I was able to do a lot of the things I still loved.
Yeah.
I kept my podcast going. I was doing kind of, you know, like 2 or 3 episodes a week. I was really, you know, able to like read books and do all these things that I loved to do. And it almost felt like I was on a bit of a holiday. Mm-hmm. And we had a good kid too. Mm. And Adrian and I had both taken time away from work. So we were both home. Yeah. So I had my husband around.
That's so good.
And it was this kind of lovely time.
Yeah.
And then at about 6 months, Adrian got offered a job. And then there was kind of 3 or 4 months of back and forth of, are we going to move to Melbourne? What is it going to look like if I go back to full-time work? And I was very much like, I can be a full-time mom. Every other woman in the world does it. I will be fine. Mm. And then he can go into childcare and I'll make it work, babe. And it was really important for our relationship, for our family, for his confidence, for him to go back to work.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that he did that. But that has I feel like I've started again. Because I was in this really false sense of security, of confidence. And then it was like new city, Adrian out of the house every day, full day, me on my own in a house with a baby, a child that is very active and, you know, 9 months old, 10 months old, 11 months old. Starting to walk, starting to really trying to pull the TV off the thing.
Busy.
And we've been sick. So it's been completely exhausting. And for the first time, really for the first time in this year of becoming a mom, I have started to really question my identity.
Mm.
Who am I? Am I ever going to work again? Am I ever going to be able to do the things I loved to do? Or do I send him to childcare? But I can't do that. What am I going to do? So it's this whole like, I just feel like I can't win.
Mm.
I have to work again. I miss it. It's so much a part of me. And I know it's normal. I know every woman goes through it. But yeah, the last kind of month has been especially tough.
Mm.
But at the same time, he's like talking and he's like engaging more and I've never been more in love with him.
Yeah.
But I miss my life so much.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's been 1,000 experiences in this year and I didn't expect any of it.
Oh, totally. And I think so many mums listening would be able to relate to those kind of parallel emotions of, you know, feeling incredibly isolated and lonely and yet being with someone that you've never loved anyone more. Right. You know,
it's
like,
insane.
It's your person, like your soulmate.
I don't want to be anywhere else, but I want to be 100 other places right now.
So true.
I don't want to count down the minutes until you go to your next nap because I'm so effing tired.
Yeah.
But I'm so tired and when is it going to be 1:30?
Yeah.
And then they finally go down and then you think about the last 3 hours and you feel guilty because you wished it away. And
yes.
It's just so many feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you touched on the isolation because it's something that, it is the most isolating thing I've ever experienced.
Mm.
Because when you are home alone, trying your bloody best, no one is there to cheer you on and no one's there to be like, well done, Ash. Instead of putting YouTube on, you played with blocks for 40 minutes.
Well done. That's
it is, right? Yeah. I could have just put super simple songs on and been like, sing the little duck song, you know, but I committed to playing with and we matched the colours of the blocks and then it was over and no one was there to be like, you're a good mom.
Yeah.
It was just me being like, well done, Ash. You did it. 40 more minutes till nap time. It's isolating.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for other mums, even just on text, like I don't get time to see my mum friends, but just to text them and be like, I am struggling today and have them go, it can be really shitty, me too.
Yeah.
Man, that makes a huge difference.
Totally. And I think just being able to be open and honest about it and allow these conversations is just so important so that when people are feeling that way, they know it's obviously completely normal. I remember actually just recently Hugh Van Kylenberg was talking to Jamila on the Briefing podcast and he was speaking about how he's really struggling at the moment with, I think he's got like 3 kids under 5.
Oh, help me God.
Yeah. And he's obviously working and he's touring and he is looking at this time as a bit of a season of his life because he said he remembers the days when he like yearned, he just wanted to be a dad and he wanted it so bad. And those were the years where he might've gone to the pub like 3 times a week or whatever and had a bit more freedom, but all he wanted was to be a dad. And now that he's a dad, he wants to go to the pub. And he's like, it's just one of these things that I've realized even as I'm walking out the door, you know, my daughter's running after me saying, I love you, daddy. I love you, daddy. And I just think, you know what? One day she's not even going to notice me get up and leave. So just look at this as a season. It's going to pass. The tough parts are going to pass, but there's also good in it too.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you say, like, I'm very maternal and I'm very caring. I love to take care of people. I love family, but I never had that yearning to be a mom.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, and I know you did. You very much like, I know I want to be a young mom. I want to start my family. I don't know what it is. I think it was maybe because I was so immersed in my career and I love my job so much.
Yeah.
I always just knew I wanted a family at some point.
Yeah.
But I could never envision myself physically getting pregnant, being pregnant, having the baby. Like, I just didn't know what that would look like.
Yeah.
And it was almost like I had to kind of just like hold my breath and jump in because it still never really felt like you know, this, I'm desperate for this.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like,
yeah. No, I think it's really good you're saying this because even I was talking on the podcast on the Kick Pod with Laura and Sarah Davidson about this because they're both very career driven and they were both saying like, I know I want kids in my future, but I just don't know when I'll feel like ready or like super maternal in that way. And I think it's really good that you're pointing out that you might not have been, as you said, like me, I knew I wanted to be a mom and it was like going to be a huge purpose for my life. And I could envision it very clearly. And I think it's important that it's okay that you didn't, but you still love being a mom.
Yeah.
And it's worked out.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my friends, because I like grew up in church, right?
Yeah.
So I have a lot of friends who had got married and had kids really young. So they've kind of like 3 or 4 kids deep, but I never really felt like I was kind of in that world. And then I got a bit older and it was like my high school friends became the girls that I had kids with, right? So they kind of waited till their mid-30s. And I've got a couple of friends actually who are very similar to me, some who were like, I don't even want kids. And then, you know, they fall in love, things kind of change. And even when they're pregnant, they were like, I don't know about this. Yeah. And then the baby comes and they're like, I love this thing more than anything, but I still don't really know what I'm doing. So I'm so grateful that I had other women who had all different kind of experiences.
Yeah.
Some who were like, one of my best friends, Ra, my age, 3 kids deep, wants a fourth.
Yeah.
And my other friend, Vanessa, just had her first, never wanted kids, doesn't want another one. Super stoked.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad I have all of these different kind of experiences because it really proves to you that there is kind of no one way of doing things. Mm. And even now I'm like, I can't imagine having a second.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What would that look like? And I know that once again, it's just going to be this like, okay, well, let's just like not make a big deal of it and then just it'll happen and then I'll just like trick myself into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to look like. I have no idea. It's fucking terrifying.
True. No, but it's true. And it is great. And I think it's important for those kind of career-driven women as well to understand that although you might not be able to picture yourself as a mom or you might not feel super maternal, but you might have an inkling that you want kids. And also that there's not a perfect time. I feel like it's just going to happen when it happens.
Totally.
Even if you're trying, I feel like there's still not a perfect time.
It's true.
So it'll all work out either way.
And there may be moments, and I really want to say this, there may be moments that you wonder whether you did the right thing.
Totally. Oh my God,
and like, I don't think we're like, we don't make space to say that.
No.
I have moments where I'm like, I love this child and my life more than anything.
Yeah.
But it is hard today and I wonder if I should have done this.
It's the what if.
Totally.
Right? 100%.
And I see all my other friends from work who are like in Europe or doing these things that I won't get to do for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to have those moments of like, oh, what if I hadn't done this? What would my life look like? Would I be in Bali right now getting my 12th massage of the day? But instead I'm holding a sick child and I've been here for 45 minutes. And I haven't got a bra on yet. And what's that on my, is that like Vegemite or poo? I don't know.
Yeah.
And that is totally okay.
Yeah.
You will have thoughts where you go, totally. I can't think that.
Yeah.
You can and you will.
Because you will have those thoughts as well if you decide not to try.
Exactly.
You'll be thinking, should I have tried earlier? Should I, you know? Yeah. So there's always the what if.
You told me on my podcast, you said you can have it all, just not at once.
Yeah.
And that has like changed my life. Yeah. And I have like told so many different people that. I'm like, you can have all the things you want, but they're all not all going to be at the same time. Yeah. And that'll come. And I know that one day I will get back to my life.
Yeah.
And I will like do fun things and have moments where I look around and go, as if I get paid to do this.
Yeah.
But for now, that's not what my life looks like.
Totally.
And like you said with Hugh, it's a season. You just have to try and
embrace what it
embrace
is.
Embrace what it is. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like I've been telling myself a lot, right? Okay, he's sick. Still, again, it is what it is. I cannot make him well.
Yeah.
I cannot make him sleep. I cannot make him happy today. I can just cuddle him and it is what it is. I gotta let go.
I also did want to talk to you about, you know, the term working mum and full-time mum. The other week on the Kick Bump podcast, I spoke about how someone was speaking to me about work. This is someone who didn't know me very well. And when I spoke to them about what I do for a living, they were like, oh, so you're not a full-time mum. And I was like...
And did you punch them in the face or did you like let them?
Very friendly.
Okay. So they walked away with an intact nose.
Yes. And I was just a bit like, it made me just think about it though, because I can understand where they're coming from because it's obviously, it's really hard. Sometimes we can get labels really wrong and people can take them in the wrong way. And you can totally mean them like in a non-harmful way. Like for example, I use the term working mum a lot and I'm starting to question whether I should use it or not because I know how much work it is.
Oh my God.
And I don't doubt for a second that I would like I would classify them as working mums as well.
I have never worked harder.
Yeah, exactly.
People used to look at me and be like, I can't believe you are always at work and traveling and you do so many radio shows. And this, 50 times harder. Yeah. I'll give you the hot tip.
Yeah, yeah. And so I never want to use that term and for people to think that like, I don't know, I'm some level above because I work at, like, it's totally different. There's challenges in both.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would love to know, as someone who... You know, as you said, you are career driven. You've got a very exciting career at that as well. And it is one that it's like you want to keep up with things. It's challenging.
And you can't take a paternity leave.
100%.
And then like they'll just keep your job warm for you. And it's totally different. Yeah.
So how have you gone with your kind of like part-time maternity leave? Because obviously you've kept up your podcast. You've even stepped in for, you know, on Will and Woody and everything. So how much are you missing work? Like work.
Yeah.
Work.
Well, first of all, I do want to say that working. I think before all of this, I had complete judgment towards women who chose not to work and chose to be full-time mums. Mm. And I want to make that really clear because I'm very ashamed of myself now that
I am.
Oh,
we all had those like wrong judgments before being a mum. Absolutely.
But it was like I would kind of look at, I would honestly look at them and be like, but you don't work.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And I'm like mortified to think about it. So yeah, look, I had decided to wrap up my radio show before I got pregnant. So I felt like my time, I used to host a national night show called Ash London Live and I've been doing it for 4 years at this point. And I signed a 1 year contract extension because I wanted to end well and I wanted to like have a really wonderful last year. And I knew it was the right decision. And then 2 months later, I got pregnant. So it was kind of like, I knew this. Absolutely. Mm. And I think part of me knew that it was time to have a baby and I didn't want to have that thing hanging over me that was like, you are expected to return to work at some point. Mm. And the company I worked for were amazing. And they said, look, if you you don't have to leave. If you want to take a year off, we will make that work for you, which is absolutely unheard of in the media industry. Can I just make that very clear? That's why a lot of like, if you'll notice, a lot of radio hosts magically have their babies in December because that's when we get our big break. And then they're back on the air in February. And I look at people like, Fifi, and I'm just like, I bow down at your feet. You are unbelievable because I would not have been ready to be back on air in two months. So I'd made that decision, okay, I'm going to trust the universe and actually just walk away from this job. And my husband did the same. He was like, cool, well, you know what? Effort, let's just do this. Mm-hmm. Let's just be home. Let's take some time off. We've both worked our asses off for so long. And I think in my head, that was kind of one thing, right?
Yeah.
Living it out has been very, very different because it really plays on a lot of those questions about where the parts of my life that I kind of value the most, where I find my identity and my security. Now that it's been a year, in my head maybe it was like, okay, I'll do this for a year and then I'll just put the kid in daycare and go back to work.
Yeah.
I'm now at that year and I'm like, not ready to put the kid in daycare. Yeah. And, you know, I can't just go on seek.com and be like, full-time radio host or like television, you know, that's not how it works. So it's been really challenging, and finding time to do anything really surprised me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it will take me a week and a half to sit down to get half an hour's work done, but I'm really grateful for it because it has absolutely forced me to scratch beneath the surface and ask those questions. Okay, how much of my self-worth is actually about what I'm creating? Mm. How much of my self-worth is actually about my job and how people perceive me? Am I going to be feel lesser than if I don't work for another year? Am I going to be okay with that? Am I going to feel like people are looking at me going, oh, Ash had a baby now, her career is over? And I need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
I need to believe it.
Yeah.
And there are moments where I don't believe it. Mm. So I think I love anything that forces you to ask questions. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling uncomfortable? Why am I feeling frustrated? Why am I feeling jealous of that woman? Mm. What is the real reason? So I've been doing a lot of that. It's also made me really appreciate women who work and parent, men who work and parent. And it's made me appreciate work. I took my job for granted, which is half the reason I left.
Mm. Well, it's good. It's really good that you're asking those questions, though, because I think the most important thing is that whenever you do choose to go to work or whatever that looks like, it's going to be up to you and it's your life you're making a decision for. And I do feel for women who feel like all this pressure from someone else that like maybe society or just friends or whatever that have gone back to work earlier or that haven't gone back to work and they feel like they're going to get judged if they want to go back to work.
Oh my God.
It's like you just got to do what's going to work for you and your sanity. So I think that's really important that you're making those decisions for yourself. And speaking of your career, you have spoken to some pretty incredible people in your career. And I want to talk about that because I think this is going to sound really weird because obviously we know that COVID was a horrible thing that happened to the world.
Yeah.
But for me, I had this incredibly spontaneous life before COVID where I was lucky enough to be traveling like almost every month and overseas all the time, taking up the most amazing opportunities and really soaking up that lifestyle. Then 2 years of isolation in Melbourne happened. Yeah. And for me, it was actually like kind of good to go into early motherhood from that experience rather than going from the spontaneous lifestyle.
Straight off the plane from Paris to bloody sitting in your room for 3 months.
Not being able to go to the pub because the baby's asleep. So yeah, and I want to speak about that because I think it helped having that time at home where it was just Josh and I and slowing down a lot in our career and our life and everything to be ready for that period of parenthood. Your life prior, you know, getting to speak to the likes of like Harry Styles and Ed Sheeran. We are going to play a clip in a second with one of your chats with Ed, but I just think that's so crazy. It would have been so polarizing to your your life now. So after the clip, I want to talk to you about that further.
The first 3 months we called the trenches. Like the first 3 months, we just you won't know what the hell happened, and then you get out of them and be like, okay, we're good, we're good. I'm telling you.
So I know you a bit, and I know that you would be in the trenches with Cherry. You're in there. But I think people assume he's so famous. He just had this kid and then like there's people milling about and then he's just in the studio doing his thing. And but I feel like that's not you maybe.
So this isn't, I don't think this is a fame thing or this is a if you want kids or you don't want kids. Regardless if you're famous and regardless if you have the means to have help, if you want to be a father, you will be a father. If you want to have a kid to have a kid and go back to work, then you'll do that. But like, I've always wanted to be a dad and I'm never, ever, I'm not going to hand my kid off to someone else. Like I honestly cherish every single nappy that I change. I love it. I love making breakfast in the morning. I love playing with Rattle. I like people just assume that they go, oh, you've had like a host of nannies. And that's, you know, it's not something that I've ever wanted for myself or my family. My parents live around the corner. If I need a babysitter, I'll ring them up, you know?
I love him so much.
It's like sweetest conversation. So the reason I wanted to play that, I mean, that is so special that you got to experience conversations like that, you know, on the daily really. So, I mean, obviously you've touched on that you miss work in general, but the kind of spontaneity and excitement that your job, you know, really had, is there days that you just feel like, shit, things are different?
Yes, every day. Yes.
I don't mean to rub it in your face, Ash. I really don't.
It's funny. Like I never thought about the COVID thing until you brought it up.
Yeah.
And I think it actually was a really good kind of transitional period because I, like you, I was traveling overseas every month. I was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I never took my life for granted. Even after all those years of the traveling and the—
You appreciated it.
I would look around and be like, what the hell? Like, I'm in a party in Paris or London and there are like 30 insanely famous people here and, you know, like, yes, someone probably whispered it, my name in Taylor Swift's ear a minute before she came over and said, hey, Ash, thanks for coming. Yeah. But it's like, it was absolutely ridiculous. And I'm glad for that because if it never happens again, I'll always have that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I the one cool thing is that there's all this like photographic and video proof that I can show Buddy. Like, see?
Yeah.
Mummy was cool.
Yeah, Mummy was cool.
But yeah, huge, huge kind of shift. And it was something that I was, you know, I was having a bit of a cry on the weekend. You know, when you're sick and you kind of like have no sense of reality anymore?
Yeah.
I was sick and I like fell apart and I was crying because I thought my life was over. And, you know, my husband was like patting my head and he's like, that'll come again one day. Like, I promise. But it's not now.
Yeah. And you've kind of already semi-answered this last question that I had for you. But it was basically any words of wisdom for women who currently have a thriving career but also would like the possibility of having a family.
Yeah.
So other than what you just said.
I think just know that it, like, people who have successful careers, often it means that we're very much in control, but you just have to be okay with the fact that you won't be able to get everything you want when you want it.
Yeah.
And that there's going to be, you know, times of real compromise and questioning. And when you have those thoughts that you think mothers aren't supposed to think this, I guarantee you every mother has thought it. Like you said before, when I said, I'm it's moments where I don't enjoy this, I regret this, is this the right thing? And your face was like, oh, I've been there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that felt so nice when you see your face to go, you know, even though I know everyone feels it. So get
reassuring.
Totally. Get ready to have thoughts of questioning and doubt. You're not always going to back yourself. But then I think also, this is something that Glennon Doyle, who is like my Lord and Savior,
God,
talks about, is that we need to get over this idea that the best thing a mother can be is selfless. Yeah. That's just such utter bullshit. Oh,
so good.
Like we think, oh, you put your kids and your partner first. You're such a great mom. Mm. Yes, there are elements of having to do that. But when did selfish become a bad word?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't want my kid to watch me give up everything I've ever wanted for him. That's way too much for one kid to take on. Mum used to have a great career, but because of me, or she used to enjoy playing tennis. I don't play tennis, but whatever it is, or doing yoga, but instead she, I want him to see me make those sacrifices.
Yeah.
And I want him to see me do things I enjoy. And if people look at me and go, she's a selfish mom, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, because it all looks different. And to be honest, I don't think many women would look at me and think she's selfish.
No.
They'd be like, good on her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we imagine a lot of the judgment.
We think the worst.
Totally.
Always.
What will people think?
Yeah.
I think most mums will look at you and go, good on you, man.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try and make one little tweak in my life so that I can do something I love once a week. Just try and be kind to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I love the selfish thing because like you can't pour from an empty cup and it's that thing about, you know, putting your mask on before someone else. Like it's so true. And I think motherhood is one of those things that when you get lost in being incredibly selfless and you don't make any time for yourself, you're drained and then you're not the best mom you can be anyway.
You really aren't.
Yeah.
You really aren't. I have a friend, Abby, and we do things like we do a meditation check-in every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where it's like, cool, I'm going to do my 10 minutes and then, you know, when we do it, we text each other. Mm. And it's like something little like that. Like yesterday, I did 10 minutes sitting down. And some days I can't find the 10 minutes. But just little things like that. Or my friend Ra, on a Monday, her and her husband, they split the afternoon in two. So he takes the kids for 5 hours and then she takes them for 5 hours. And then the next week they swap. So she gets an afternoon to herself and the next week she gets a night to herself and she goes to the movies. That's not a huge thing.
But it's something.
But it's something and it's something to look forward to. So she just feels like, just a little peek of her old life. So I can sit there with a really disgustingly large fizzy drink that no one's going to try and drink from and some popcorn for 2 hours and watch a movie. She might sleep through the movie.
Yeah.
But little things like that make a huge difference and I'm going to steal that from Ra.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and see this movie I read about yesterday that Christian O'Connell put on his Instagram.
Amazing.
And I was like, that sounds like me. And I'll cry and I'll come home still crying. God, I love a cry, Steph.
Love a cry.
Mad for a cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have a cry. That's my advice. Yeah. Put something on that will make you cry. Then you can blame the tears on the movie.
But really.
Not your hormones and how sad you are about the fact that you don't know who you are anymore.
Oh, thank you so much. Honestly, it was so good to chat. I could talk to you for so, so long.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And everything that you cover on your podcast too. It's just, It's awesome. And you're a breath of fresh air.
As are you. Oh. When Harvey doesn't sleep, it makes me feel better. I'm like, I'm okay glad someone that else's kid was up at 5. Well, thank you. Her life is not perfect. It actually helps. Good. Really helps. No, I'm glad. I know it sucks for you, but it helps me it's when you fine. Both look together. Great. Thank you, darling, for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that chat with Ash, guys. We'll pop her information in our show notes along with a link to her incredible podcast, New Mum Who Dis. Now, I would love you to come and join our Kick Bump Facebook community. So if you are maybe trying or thinking about trying, or you are a mother or a parent, you are welcome in this Facebook community. We speak about all things motherhood, you know, babies, what nappies people recommend, getting back into exercise, you know, all of that stuff. So if you would like to join basically a virtual mothers group, you can head over to Facebook and join our Kick Bump private Facebook community. And I will be back in your ears in a fortnight from now, which I'm looking forward to. So if you would like to keep up with Kick in the meantime, you can find us on Instagram at Keep It Cleaner and myself at Steph Claire Smith. And remember, if you've been thinking about trying Kick for our Kick Bump program or anything else we have to offer, we can access via our website, keepitcleaner.com, or the Apple or Google Play Store.